Watch out for the shark attack.
Ow.
I told you to watch out.
This is the Extra Hot Grape Podcast, episode 405 for the week of May 3rd, 2022. I am a mother's worst nightmare, David T. Cole, and I'm here with Sarah D. Bunting is dead in a ditch somewhere.
I knew it.
And casserole artisan, Tara Ariano.
Oh, forgot the crumpled up potato chips. Welcome to Extra Hot, great for another week. It is time once again to return to the Thunderdome. And because Mother's Day is nearly upon us, this time it's all TV moms. We only had one criterion this time, which was we were only going to submit one character per show across all entries. I think we were respectful of everyone else's known preferences. There weren't any hurt feelings about this one. There was one very notable one that Dave forgot, but I remembered, so I put it on my list. So we have 27 moms entering the Thunderdome in a series of matchups. And by the end of this, we will determine who is the ultimate TV mom.
But consider this. This is not who is the best TV mom.
No.
This is out of 27 moms fighting one-on-one-on-one in the Thunderdome, which is from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, which is a geodesic dome that three people go into. There's some weapons and stuff on the walls. You can climb up on stuff. Mm-hmm. But two will die, and one will win. So it's about who is the mightiest of the moms.
That's right.
Who has the iron will and skill set to survive all the matches in the Thunderdome to be the sole survivor at the end of today's episode. That is what is at stake today.
That's right.
So shall we get into it? I want to let everybody know that out of the 27 moms, what I did was I got everybody's selections, I gave them all a number, and then I randomized that list thanks to the good folks at random.org. Mm-hmm. And those are the opening matchups we'll be doing today. So there's no seeding, there's no one mom from each of our groups, that kind of thing. And match one is kind of a doozy, let's get right into it.
Jesus.
Huh? All right, here we go. We have Elizabeth Jennings from The Americans versus Mags Bennett from Justified.
Wow.
Versus from Futurama, simply Mom.
Oh, boy.
Jennings, Bennett, Mom from Futurama, all in our round one matchup. Tara Ariano, you start us off. Give us your thoughts on this, our first Thunderdome battle.
Okay, we're just starting out. I don't want to make any predictions. And as you, Dave, you already said, there is no seeding system here. But if there were, you have to say Elizabeth Jennings would be seeded first. I mean, she is a literal multiple murderer. This is, you know, for I was going to say good reasons. For reasons, let's say. I don't know how good they are necessarily. Mm. Your mileage may vary.
Like the Soviets had a lot of good ideas.
You know, I don't want to be the one to go on record saying that, but they had a couple. So she's her advantage here is she's strong, she's a murderer, she's young. She's the youngest of our three combatants. Definitely the most limber, certainly has the most beautiful hair, whether that plays into it or not, you know, who's to say? Mom is, she presents, her public image is that she's, you know, sort of a more heavyset grandmotherly figure. But as we know when we watch the show, that's just a suit that she wears. And inside, she is all sinew. We have seen her working out. She walks on a treadmill very aggressively. She has no compunction, certainly, slapping her own terrible three children. So violence comes naturally to Mom. And Mags Benedict.
I love a delicious good plate of Mags Benedict.
Mags.
It tastes good, but the finisher, aftertaste is terrible.
Yeah. Mags Bennett from Justified, also a murderer. But, you know, she's getting up in years. I feel like, and also, you know, if she doesn't have access to her signature poison.
Yeah.
How effective is she going to be?
Right.
So I feel like Elizabeth Jennings just honestly leaps onto both of these ladies' shoulders in succession, chokes them out with her thighs, and handily wins this match.
I think your characteristics for each of the moms presented in round one are spot on. I feel for me, the real question is, I can't find fault with your scenario unless, again, as you say, Mags had access and had the forethought to do that whole poison drink thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if so, that I believe is her avenue to eliminating Elizabeth Jennings. If not,
right,
then I believe Elizabeth Jennings would probably take it pretty easily. Sarah, your thoughts?
Knowing nothing about Futurama's mom, I'm going to eliminate her slash it slash that program from consideration. So it really is down to Liz v. Mags. And is it possible that Mags Bennett could get the hydration jump on Elizabeth and poison her? Yes. Would Elizabeth have taken this into consideration and just like brought in her own Gatorade beer helmet, not drinking anything Mags gives her, and stilettoing her in the ear immediately?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Jennings. It's not close.
Yeah, that's a great point. I hadn't considered the tradecraft aspect that like Elizabeth is thinking 15 moves ahead of all of her opponents.
She's probably been drinking a little bit of the poison since Thunderdome was announced in order to become immune to its effects.
Yeah.
Can't find fault with that. So our first round victor is Elizabeth Jennings.
Huh?
All right. Round two is Tammy Taylor from Friday Night Lights versus Marge Simpson from The Simpsons versus Vanessa Kiefer from Atlanta.
Okay.
That is a round two matchup. Sarah, you start us off.
This is a weird one. Tammy Taylor's, I think, primary weapon is to stun people with how beautiful her hair is.
Yeah.
But for her to be matched against these two combatants in that regard is unfortunate because you've got flowing auburn up against extremely tall and blue and possibly whippable to devastating effect.
Yep.
And Van from Atlanta's hair always looks good.
Yes.
More to the point, Van is extremely inventive that time that she had a drug test and it was just like this montage of her Ms. Wizarding this fake urine for her to take. And then, of course, it all went wrong, but she almost had it.
Yep.
I wouldn't fuck with her. And she wears a lot of pointy jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think when it's Dave's turn to talk, he's going to have some things to say about Marge being a cartoon and her... her sort of unkillability in that regard and how that protects her from certain things. But I think we have to put them all on an equal killability footing.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone needs empathy after they lose slash are killed, Tammy's your gal. If you need to hide in someone's hair, Marge is your gal. But I just think Vanessa Kiefer is the winner here because she is not fucking having it ever. And yeah. I think that's what you need in this scenario. Plus, see above Ray, pointy jewelry. Like, this is a physical fight, and I think she's going to win.
I don't think I ever said cartoons are unkillable. I think how it came out was something to do with the anatomy of a cartoon and questions there within, because the method of death seemed to be like slicing something off or doing a particular type of thing. It ended with the devastating move of using a pencil eraser, as I recall. But
I think you're right.
I'm putting it on the table right now that cartoons are as killable as humans inside of Thunderdome.
Okay. Sure.
Okay.
All right, so I will say that Marge Simpson is like not – Marge Simpson doesn't seem like a worthy opponent, I think. She seems sort of meek and definitely has been worn down by her horrible husband. But there are those moments where she's backed into a corner and with motherly love slash rage comes out swinging. But I don't really know if that – scenario could be engineered for a fight in the Thunderdome. Like, how do you put her children, her family unit at risk beyond just the fact that she could die? But I mean, that's and she needs an external reason to go ape.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah,
a catalyst. Yep.
Yeah. And Tammy Taylor versus Vanessa on Atlanta has shown that she is willing to go the distance to get what she wants. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't need to be by the book. And she, you know, she'll go to a party and she'll just like steal art right away. Bam, done. Like there right. is, she doesn't
took
have.
Drake's jacket.
When you're in the Thunderdome,
pants.
You can't afford to question yourself.
Yeah.
And I don't think she does. I think she's just A, B, C, dead. And I feel like that is going to give her the edge over Tammy Taylor here. Tara.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a great point that she has a kind of basic transgressiveness to her. She seems the most chaotic of the three. Marge has definitely undertaken some, you know, activities, interests, pursuits that gave her more strength. She was a bodybuilder. She was a cop. But those are only for one episode each.
Yeah.
And then she goes back to normal. The one sort of, you know, the question about Marge is that we know she has not aged in 34 years. So it's possible she is immortal.
But
we don't know that for a fact. So let's just set it aside. It's more of a thought experiment. Is Marge Simpson immortal? Discuss. But, for these purposes, let's say we have not had that proven. So let's assume she's not. So this does come down to Tammy versus Vanessa. I agree with Sarah.
If I may.
Dave. Yes, Dave.
Just a side thing. Mm-hmm. I would actually say if we approach that topic,
right.
that actually it is probably going to be a negative for her because the Simpsons universe exists all in one basic chunk of time.
Mm-hmm.
But like let's just say the Simpsons exists in a 2-year stretch, right?
Sure.
Or something like
yes.
that, based on how nobody is aging. Let's just give them the benefit of the doubt and say 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Those 2 years have so far encompassed everything from the 70s to the 2020s as far as when it is. So what is happening is time is somehow dilating from Marge Simpson. So I believe like all that sort of time-space fuckery is actually going to degrade her on a cellular, atomic level.
Yeah.
So if we go there, I think it's actually not going to be good news for her.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point.
It is an excellent point. Thank you. That's why I'm here for Thunderdome, is these discussions.
But it's like in Russian Doll, where it's like, in some respects, it seems like no time has passed, but then gradually you start to see, oh, the flowers are wilting, the fruit is rotten, stuff is disappearing.
We're interstellaring Marge Simpson here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tammy versus Vanessa. I already said that Vanessa's got that chaotic energy. What neither of you mentioned with regard to Tammy is that she is from Texas, and you don't mess with Texas.
It's true.
Everyone knows this. She is frequently wearing cowboy boots, which, you know.
Kickers.
Does she, though, strike you as the type of Texan that would have, like, the we don't call 911
would be
sign
strapped up
on her
no,
front
she definitely
yard.
Doesn't. No. And we know that she's worked within the public school system. She has a healthy respect for rules. She works within them even when it's hard. Vanessa has also worked in public schools, but you know, we know how that went. So I'm gonna agree with Dave and Sarah. Vanessa takes this one.
Huh?
All right. Round three, we have Esther Klavan from Cheers, Cliff's mom.
Yep.
Jesse Spano from Saved by the Bell reboot from 2020. And Violet Crawley, a.k.a. the Dowager Countess, from Downton Abbey.
Oh, boy.
Esther, Jesse, Violet, I will go first today. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, you know, you could kill a lot of people with a great little bit of wit.
That's true.
And if that was the question, I mean, if that was the criteria, certainly this game would be over right away.
Yes.
With 26 bodies surrounding Violet Crawley. But she is an old, old lady. And the last time we saw her in the Downton Abbey universe, she had cancer or something. They didn't quite spell out, but it seemed like bad news, even though her character is in the next one. So I don't know what happened there. I guess they found a little couch money for her.
She got a little of that Marge astrophysics.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right.
Esther Klavan, you want to speak to this, Sarah? Because I believe this is your entry in there. And I don't really remember too much about her.
She's also super old. She's played by Frances Sternhagen.
Right.
We miss her.
And like every time she comes on screen, my husband who did a play with her is like, Franny. And I'm like, oh yeah. Why don't I also know her?
I guess my question is, in my mind, I kind of feel like her character, the way she treats Cliff was sort of like written as this is why Cliff is Cliff. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. I think she is formidable. And I think she also has, I find the Boston accent actually kind of compelling. Not everyone agrees. And in fact, this could be used to pierce, like literally pierce eardrums. Like her Boston accent, her New England accent is extremely strong.
Yeah.
It could peel paint. It might peel paint. And that could help her. So I think that she, and I, you know, I think she can, you know, take her pearls off and throttle people with them. Like, I just think that she is a lot tougher than she may look physically. And I think the same of Violet Crawley, in fact. Also, she's wearing, no doubt, some kind of whalebone situation in the thorax that is going to protect her from some weapons and projectiles. And she has a cane. And she has, like, a ton of complicated hairpins. And she, like, yes, she slays with her wit, but I think she would not be afraid to literally slay with slaying things that slay. So.
I don't know. I think she would go into the Thunderdome and expect somebody on her behalf still, even though she's been told a few times.
That's right.
That the help is not coming, but yes. She just can't really wrap her brain around the fact that she won't have a proxy.
Right.
Sprat can't
so
fight
I think
for
what
you.
Probably happens is that the stool that Jesse Spano brought to fend off Esther Klavan a la a lion tamer is commandeered by Violet Crawley. She sits down on it, and the other two who are both rushing at her in order to eliminate her with knives out end up killing each other. So Violet prevails.
Wow.
But Jesse Spano is quite fit. I mean, this was, you know, an actress who was a pole dancer in another quite famous film. So I will hear arguments, but I think it's Violet Crawley, possibly by accident.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Dave, did you say who you think is going to win?
No. I was just looking for a some clarity on Esther. And but to circle back, yes. I don't know. Violet Crawley, she's like not only old, but she's like Esther might think she is old. You know what I mean? Like there's a relativity here.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
in Downton Abbey, I believe she's 420. She's like half a Yoda or something.
Yeah.
So I even with advantages, fanciful advantages, I have a hard time seeing her physically taking down anybody.
Yeah.
And even if she has whalebone corsets or whatever on, like, I don't think she has the speed or just physical wherewithal to defend herself from a second blow to the leg or face or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as easy as a thing as says, well, you know, Jesse is the youngest and most spry, and the other are so old that it really isn't much of a competition. I am sort of leaning that way, even though my brain really, really, really wants to figure out a way that it can accept the Dowager Countess moving on. Like, even if, like, she had...
My brain already did it for you. Just
but I don't agree. Like, if somehow her wit did kill, I don't even think that would work on Jesse Spano because it would just go over her head.
Yeah.
Like a really, biting, personal attack. Which it would just not register with her in a meaningful way, and she would just go on fighting and kill her.
Yeah.
So I think I got to go with Jesse here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hear what you guys are saying. I also, like Dave, I don't want to just say by default it's Jesse because she's the youngest, so I won't. I'm going to say here are the weapons that Violet and Esther have, respectively. Violet, of course, the rapier wit. It's not the same as a rapier.
It might be, we just don't know.
Well, we've seen it in action. She has not actually, we haven't seen her kill anyone. And Esther's way of getting her, of prevailing is definitely emotional blackmail and those sorts of tricks. She acts weak. This is how she keeps Cliff in line. She alternates between being bossy and being quavery.
Yeah, but those are long-term projects.
That's what I'm saying. But the thing is, in both of those cases, what neither of you has noted, because maybe you forgot, is that Jessie is a PhD in psychology. She has the tools to battle both of these kinds of attacks, verbal attacks. And on top of that, as Sarah said, she played a character who could pole dance. Jesse did it in season two of Saved by the Bell. Spoiler, there was a, you know, there was a showgirls reference at a career day. And so she, you know, I don't necessarily think she could hold herself up upside down by her legs anymore, but she still got moves. And every single time we see her, she's holding a gigantic folder. Neither of them, okay, Violet has a cane, that's true. But I think Jesse is going to deck either Esther or Violet with one blow of her huge folder, and they are going down. Dave.
Exciting development. I figured out why Violet Crawley wins this match.
Oh, no!
Jesse Spano is too sleepy to fight because she is still battling her caffeine addiction. Mm. From the original run to Saved by the Bell, okay. has been avoiding okay. not only caffeine pills, but all genuine low-level stimulants. Mm. Arrives at the Thunderdome a little logy, logy enough to give Violet Crawley a chance to pull out one of those whale bones and snap her in the jugular.
Okay.
We did it, Sarah!
Yes!
Huh? All right, round four. We've got Nora Walker, Brothers and Sisters, versus Anita Van Buren, Law and Order, original Ray's Mothership, versus Livia Soprano from, guess what? The Sopranos. Tara, oh, start us off.
Oh, well, Livia has a lot of the same strengths as Esther in terms of emotional manipulation. This is her entire character. You have noted here that she's from The Sopranos and not from Many Saints of Newark. So this is when she's already real old and not quite bedbound, but is on her way to being. Nora likes her wine. This is true. She's had a million kids, so she's, you know, probably very tough, got nice abdominals or terrible ones. Who's to say if she's been doing her Kegels? I don't know. And Anita Van Buren, when we last saw her, was being treated for cancer. So this is really
successfully.
A hard one. She was, but it takes it out of you, you know? But she's got access to cop tricks. She's a cop. So I'm going to say she knows how to do, like, illegal moves that you're not supposed to, but we all know they still do. I'm going to say Anita. Anita wins this one for slightly shady reasons.
Classic Tara.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. All cops are bastards, and that does include Van Buren, but mm-hmm. I still think she wins here. I think what probably happens is this. Nora Walker rolls in with a bunch of bottles of Ojai's Finest, snaps off the necks, and is like, who's got next? And Anita's mm-hmm. like, no problem, and shoots her in the head.
Right.
Because Anita shot a developmentally delayed child.
She did.
At the ATM.
Yes.
So, Jesus. Well, first of all, you can't bring your own weapons into Thunderdome. But I feel like she would find something.
She would give him a chokehold. That's what I was trying to think of before.
Yeah. She will do the chokehold. She will use her empty holster to throttle someone.
Yeah.
She will smother someone with one of her wigs. Mm-hmm. She's got a lot of cop tricks, like Tara said. If you're talking about sheer meanness, Livia Soprano, like, I hate that she's up against Anita, but yes, she tried to have her own kid killed. But she had to have him killed.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she's like, get the knife out of the ham and stick it in my heart. Like, well, if you're not going to go and get the knife yourself and fuck some shit up, then you're not going to win. So it's Lieutenant Van Buren, I feel sure.
I can't really find fault with that argument, but I would just like to present the theoretical situation where Livia Soprano is the Livia Soprano that they filmed after the actress's death. And it's just that weird, like, head in a static body.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Like the ring?
Rah.
Yeah.
No good. It's just like, it's like, it's sort of like Mad Libs Livia Soprano at the end of the mm-hmm. Soprano run.
Yeah, you can also see this technology on Jeff Garlin's character now on the Goldbergs. And now that he's been ignominiously fired and they haven't killed his character yet, hope they do before the next season because it just got renewed.
So, I mean, that just brings up the question, like, is that iteration of her killable in any way? Let's just say yes. I think at the most I could give the scenario is that version of the character comes into Thunderdome is so bewildering that the other ones are just sort of like taken aback for a moment. And like that just gives her like, she's not the first to die. She's right. The second to die.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's the best I could give her because I can't really figure out a way that somehow the off-puttingness of the weird head in a sack of human body
yeah.
gets both of them to kill each other somehow. So, yeah, I'm going to have to go with Anita Van Buren on this one as well. So easy 3-for-3 there.
Huh?
Round 5. Sophia Petrello, Golden Girls. Lucille Bluth, Rest Development. And Shelley from Minx.
Mm.
Now, Tara, can you just give a little background on Shelley from Minx? And she's a pretty new character to television.
She is. She's Minx is a 2022 show on HBO Max, which we've talked about briefly on the main podcast. You should watch it. Shelley is played by Lennon Parham. She is the married sister of the lead character, Joyce. And she's a stay-at-home wife and mother who's fascinated by the world of pornography as Joyce has just come into it and is a counselor, a sometimes participant, and goes on quite a journey in the first season. As now that it's wrapped up, we can see it went in very unexpected places for her, as it were. She's also married. Oh, well, I'll save it. She's married to Rich Sommer. That's another important data point. Her husband's played by Rich Sommer.
Okay. Now with that background, Sarah starts up.
Well, okay. I think as much as it saddens me, and I know that she would not understand the question and would not respond to it, but I think Lucille Bluth is pretty easily eliminated because she is wasted.
Pickled? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that that can't sometimes give you what you think is super strength, but coordination-wise, it doesn't work out. Ask me how I know. JK, no need. So that brings us to Shelley and Sophia. Now, Sophia is very small and very old, but this is a piece of determined Italian gristle where, like, who is carrying a pocketbook, like, even when she's in her robe and pajamas. That if it's anything like my grandmother's almost identical pocketbook, who was almost identical size, there is like an extremely dense, like Time Bandits moon rock bowling ball of some sort in it because it weighs like 3 pounds.
Yeah.
And has the used Kleenex of like 15 generations in it. And she is not afraid to swing it. She's not afraid to slap people. And I just think that her being low to the ground, I get that she's like a third of Shelley's age, but she can literally hamstring Shelley. And then once Shelley goes down, she's just going to get TBI'd with the pocketbook. And I think it's Sophia. I know I'm like a reverse ageist with these, but age before beauty? I don't know.
In the Minx, as of this recording, and I don't know if sidebar. Are all the ones online? Have we watched everything everybody else has watched?
Yes, okay. Last week was the finale.
So Shelley, as of the recording in Minx, is just like just coming out of her shell. So I don't think she's like the powerhouse she could be a little bit later. She's got some confidence, but not all the confidence yet.
Yes, that's
and
true.
I agree with Sarah on Lucille Bluth. Absolutely pickled. I'm doing the really forced wink at you right now. You can't really see it. But for some reason, I feel like Sophia Petrello fights exactly like Yoda from Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
I feel like she's there. She pulls out her purse and suddenly she's dancing all over, flipping on tables, bouncing off the ceiling, smacking you with her purse and whatnot. Yeah. I just feel like she has a low level hidden Yoda energy.
Yeah, I agree. I wish that random.org had let us put Lucille versus Violet because I feel like those are two shades of the same character. But yeah, Lucille's out of it. Unless she's fighting against Lindsay, her barbs are not really going to land that way. So Shelley versus Sophia, I agree. I'm also going to note that Sophia is not just like a little tiny, dense salami of a person, but she also has to lift pots of like sauce and pasta off the stove all the time. She's strong. She may be small, but I think she's got a lot of sinew in her, and you know, she's remembers some moves from when she had to like spit on Mussolini's hanging body or whatever the hell. So yeah, Sophia,
and she,
for sure.
I mean, she gave birth to B. Arthur,
who, right?
That yeah, had to have been a 10-pound baby.
I was
still getting
say.
His like 4'11".
Yes, yeah.
All right, next round is Beverly Crusher from Star Trek Next Generation versus Cindy Walsh from Beverly Hills 90210 versus Jackie Harris from Roseanne.
Wow, this is a evenly matched round.
It really is.
I'm curious to see how this goes.
It's not the muscly powerhouse that round one was with Jennings Bennett mom, but it certainly is as evenly matched, I believe. It really is a tough decision. So Crusher, Walsh, Harris, Next Generation, Beverly Hills, Roseanne. Let's not discount that Crusher has deep knowledge of medical ways to hurt things.
Yep.
She obviously did not go. I assume the future, we still got some version of the Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is she going to follow that? Is she going to do no harm when it comes to the Thunderdome?
Well, she's not Thunderdome. Working.
It's Thunderdome.
Kill or be killed, man.
So she has the knowledge advantage, I think. You know, like, she knows the point you press into your chest to incapacitate them for a few seconds.
Across multiple species, so.
Yeah, she knows where the heart and, you know, she knows that the testicles hang at the knee of that one thing that Captain Kirk.
Useful for Cindy Walsh.
Well, you never know.
I guess we don't. Those were very voluminous skirts.
We know. She wears Bermuda shorts a lot.
So, Galactic Doctor versus Beverly Hills adjacent mom. Do they live in Beverly Hills? In Beverly Hills,
yeah,
or
they live Hills.
Like kind of like in Beverly Hills?
No, they're in the school catchment. They're definitely in Beverly Hills. They're on Hillcrest.
Okay. Boy, the other two. I feel like I want to give first crack at Cindy Walsh to Sarah or Tara because they are the experts when it comes to 90210.
Sarah, please.
I will put in my vote for Cindy Walsh in this round with the understanding that I may be talked into Jackie Harris. Dave's point about Beverly Crusher is well taken, and that's not nothing. But I think Cindy Walsh, I don't know. Like, if she had any killer instinct, she would have murdered her shitty, shitty son many times.
Both her
now.
Children, honestly.
Yeah, really. She doesn't seem to, and I think she may exist on this Marge homicidal catalyzing plane where her family or her loved ones have to be threatened in order for her to, raise her game to that lethal level.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, she does wear a lot of voluminously pleated garments in which the others could get tangled up. She does often have her hands on a giant casserole with which she could administer concussions. Boiling hot lasagna is not going to be fun when it makes contact with your cornea.
Yeah.
And then someone's always chopping up, incorrectly, by the way, some salad ingredients on her counter.
Yeah.
She knows how to use a knife. I mean, her children don't, but she has skills. They were the only things that she was allowed to do. She, underneath all of that fabric, still had a banging figure as far as we ever saw. Like, when they put her in something form-fitting, it was like, well, shit. So she was clearly working out, keeping fit. I just don't know if she has the killer instinct. Here's the problem. I think she's up against a Hippocratic Oath taker and someone else whose Midwestern values may prevent them from becoming murderous. So I actually am not sure. I think this comes down to like a skills-based conversation, in which case I have to say Crusher, but I mean, doesn't, like, Jackie's a fucking truck driver, no?
I was going to say, she's pretty mercenary on the show.
She is. Yeah. I'll go next because I feel like I know the most about Jackie. She's had a lot of jobs. She worked on the line at a plastics company. She was a cop also.
Right.
The only reason she retired from the force was because she got injured in the line of duty. And then she was a truck driver. And then she co-owned a loose meat sandwich restaurant, which she still does in the Conners. We're just talking about Roseanne, but still. I mean, you guys have all seen Lori Metcalf, she is like all muscle. Like she's, she looks real strong. You know, if we're saying that Anita Van Buren knows how to do illegal chokeholds, presumably that's something that Jackie learned as well before her retirement.
True.
But, you know, so to me, Cindy's out of it for the reason that you said. She hasn't killed either of her shitty children or any of her shitty children's shitty friends. I mean, yeah. Kelly Taylor.
So when it comes to killing, she's so absentee.
Yeah, she is. Ugh. She is tall. She does have, you know, she looks like she has a sinewy figure. So for me, this is Jackie versus Beverly. And
I got an argument for you here. Might help you.
Okay.
We're talking about the backed into the corner, you know, mama bear kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That could make or break a fight. Mm-hmm. What about the opposite, where what Beverly Crusher has to come home to is Wesley Crusher? And she's like, oh, fuck it, and just throws in the towel.
But yeah, then totally. That puts Cindy back in the conversation, not to mention that her husband is sitting around singing Great Balls of Fire with Trumpy Superman.
Right.
Just saying.
Look, I think Dave's, both of you made the point, I believe, that, you know, Beverly Crusher will know and from an acupressure perspective how to, you know, enact the most damage with the least effort. But Jackie seems to me like someone who carries a box cutter in her boot. I just think Jackie is tougher.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Jackie for me. Yeah.
I think Jackie also has a top shot, like a soupçon of crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That the other two don't have.
Yeah.
So I am content with Jackie.
Yeah, I think Beverly Crusher, even if she got to the final two, has a moment of clarity. She's like, you know what? Nah.
What am I fighting for?
Exactly.
Take me now.
Huh?
All right, next round. Round seven is Lillian from the Wonder Years 2021 version. Mm-hmm. Catherine Willows from CSI, original Ray's Vegas, and Maxine Gray from Judging Amy.
Ooh, tough one. Tough round. Okay, for those who have not been watching the ABC reboot of The Wonder Years, let me just tell you a little bit about Lillian. She is the mom. This version of The Wonder Years is narrated by Don Cheadle. It follows a black middle-class family in Birmingham, Alabama, and she holds a master's degree. She is employed in a very, you know, high bookkeeping or, you know, accounting, something like that. You know, it's a kid's show, or it's a show mostly about the kids. They don't go into a huge amount of detail about what the parents do, but she has an important job, we are given to understand. And she has three children, one of whom has, at this point in the series, just returned from serving in the Vietnam War, returning with some kind of a bronze star. She grew up on a farm. We got to meet her mother recently, who was played by Regina Taylor, Sarah.
Oh, nice.
So she's been through it. Like, she grew up on a farm. We're given to understand they, like, maybe only got indoor plumbing, like, relatively recently. She's definitely had to butcher some chickens. This is going to be no problem for Lillian. She's really fought for a lot of what she has in her life and will continue to fight for it, in my opinion.
Yeah, a pre-fully automated farm life really is sort of like soldier training in a lot of ways.
And in Alabama humidity. I mean, before hearing that, I would have argued, and God bless Maxine Gray and Judging Amy. Justice for Judging Amy, please, someone bring it to streaming.
Yes.
Music rights are not that fucking complicated. Figure it out.
Yep.
It is a comfort canon show that I should have been able to talk about, except you can't fucking watch it anywhere.
Yep.
But she's out of this. I love Tyne Daly, and she played a cop on another show, but she's out of this. Mm-hmm. Nobody on that show, except maybe the toxically cute kid, would be able to hang in this fight. I think there was an argument for Catherine Willows, who, you know, we've seen her doing her own rape kit.
Yeah.
She has, you know, come up in Vegas. Her dad or / father figure
she's
was
shady
like a
as
mob
shit.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's shady as hell. She's fit as hell. She looks like she will fight. But Alabama summers, when you got to go outside to take a dump.
Yeah.
Sorry. No contest.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely Willows versus Lillian.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when it comes down to one-on-one fisticuffs, the blood and the shit and the dirt and all that kind of stuff, that you got to give it to the person that grew up on the farm.
Yeah.
You know, a CSI, what the hell are they? CSI what? I guess they're a CSI.
Yeah.
A CSI.
Crime scene investigator.
Yeah. A CSI investigator that uses the ATM machine says they, like, without their tools, I feel like they're just as helpless as, like, I would be coming into it. Like, they know 1,001 ways to kill a person, but if they don't have the raw strength, and she doesn't, I don't think she could implement any of that fast enough to kill somebody who grew up on a farm.
Yeah. Now, her character at Chyna Beach, different story. But that's what we're talking about.
We're not.
So.
All right. Well, I agree. Maxine is out of it as much as I love her. Unless she was going to, you know, shame someone to death. And I wouldn't put it past her. Mm-hmm. But I agree. This is Lillian versus Catherine. What neither of you mentioned is that, like Jesse Spano, Catherine also has stripper skills. She was an exotic dancer before she
that's
became
right.
a CSI. So I do think she's strong. She certainly can wear
okay, but there's exotic dancers. Mm-hmm. Exotic dancers aren't Black Widow.
Right. No, it's true.
I don't know if the skill set completely translates to a...
I just think if you have been killing livestock in order to eat it, like yeah. with your hand / yeah. an axe,
yeah.
being a CSI who has core strength is not going to fucking cut it.
Right. Yeah. And we also, I don't think I ever saw her on the pole. So we're only hearing about it, you know, secondhand. Right. This isn't like Jesse Spano who actually...
We actually get the flashback and she's like flailing and falling down, flop on the floor. And the floor manager's like, oh, Jesus, what the hell?
Yeah. So the other thing that I didn't mention about...
Hands her a brochure. Exciting career opportunities at the Crime Scene Investigation Unit.
Totally. So, you know, we already talked about Beverly Crusher and how she might just fold because she has nothing really to fight for
yes.
with her shitty son.
Her shitty kid.
Catherine has a shitty kid as well, but...
Sure does.
On the other hand, Lillian is married to a character played by Dulé Hill, and Dulé Hill 2022 with a little bit of gray.
Mm-hmm.
She is going to fight to get back to that man as any of us would, Lillian.
Yeah, agree.
Huh?
Our penultimate first round matchup is Colleen Donaghy, 30 Rock, Debbie Egan, Glow, Cersei Lannister, Game of Thrones.
Oh my God.
This is chaotic.
This is a lot of different energies coming together.
Oh my God.
Sarity Bunting, it's your turn to start us off.
I don't want to do that. I'm sorry. Which Lannister is this?
Cersei Lannister, the...
Lena Headey.
The brother fucker.
Yes.
The brother fucker. Got it. So there's literally nothing or no one that she won't do. Okay, so...
That's right. She's going to fuck everybody to death in the Thunderdome.
All right, so it's Colleen, Cersei, and who was our last one?
Debbie from Glow.
Debbie, okay.
So do fake wrestling moves translate into Thunderdome prowess?
This is the question.
I think they do. I mean, I don't know anything about Colleen, and I think that Cersei's strengths lie in manipulation / sort of morally repelling people, but I don't know. I never watched that show, and I'm not going to start in order to win this argument, so I'm going to say that Debbie Egan, I mean, she just seems very determined, like grimly so, and we've seen her fuck people up for real. So I think it's Debbie, but I also don't know as much about the other characters as I could. So I look forward to hearing why I am either wrong or right.
Colleen Donaghy is roughly analogous to the Dowager Countess.
Yeah, she's played by Elaine Stritch.
With like a more Machiavellian sort of process. She is always sort of doing terrible things in order to, in her mind, boost her son.
Yeah, she's Jack's mother.
Elaine Stritch is not a small person, yeah. So...
No.
Okay.
But her...
Old.
Choice... She's old, but her weapon of choice is psychology.
Yes. Cutting remarks.
You know, like, the closest we get to an actual sort of fight, you know, brawl terminology is when she establishes her Christmas attack zone.
That's right.
But it's not really, you know, a physical attack zone.
No.
And then Cersei Lannister, I think... she's more of a delegator when it comes to hurting people. Yeah. She killed a whole fucking city with green gas, but she didn't have to pull the trigger. It was all set up. And, you know, she is, you know, a pen rather than a sword wielder type of character.
Yeah.
So I think, like, once you get all of them in the Thunderdome, I do think, even though, you know, you could argue the WWF style wrestling, you know, wouldn't actually translate, I think it translates enough to kill a pampered princess, which I guess Cersei kind of is. I don't generally call her princess, but that's her order in the rank. Lannister rung.
Yeah.
And then Colleen Donaghy, who is 80 or whatever.
Yes.
Well, and I think if you know how to do the moves so that they don't hurt people, that in turn means that you would know how to do them so that they do. So,
you're right. They're all modified hurdy moves for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, here's what I'm not supposed to do. Let's do that a bunch of times and win this round.
And the other thing about Debbie is that she not only has the moves at her disposal, she also has that that motherly rage that she taps into. What is the gift that you always use? Tears of rage.
Pies of rage.
Pies of rage. Oh, yeah. Tears of Rage is the book by that guy,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah. By John Welsh.
Different.
I just realized I put in two women back to back who are married to rich summer characters. At the time, we did not know Shelley was. Yeah, Dave is right. My understanding of Cersei is that she's more of a Charles Manson, shall we say. She orders things to be done versus having hands-on strength.
Okay. Also, her strategy for power was to get her sons to, you know, take the throne.
Mm-hmm.
So that method is not conducive to hand-to-hand combat, right? You're right. It's all about politics and being Machiavellian about everything.
Yeah. So she and Colleen have that in common, we can say. Mm-hmm. Colleen is strong in a sense that she, you know, Jack backed a car over her and she lived. Pretty mad about it.
So she'll take a while to kill, is what you're saying.
She survived. Debbie is, once again, I believe the youngest of the three. She, even before she was a wrestler, we know she did aerobics. We see her doing them in the first episode of Glow. So she has cardio training. She has probably the best endurance of the three. And she only got stronger as, you know, the longer she was a wrestler. Fake moves or not, you know, she's the point is well taken that she, if you know how to do them so they don't hurt, you know how to do them so they do. We definitely saw that with her in the second season episode where she got all coked up and broke Ruth's leg real bad. And that was like, you know, they've had their hard times, but in a sense, kind of her best friend. And she still did that in the heat of a moment when she felt like it was warranted, you know, it's kind of like Thunderdome. And finally, like, all she really has to possibly do is get close enough to either of her opponents to smother them with her big naturals. So, Debbie.
Her big naturals.
That's right.
All right. That means we are on to our last first round matchup.
Huh? Do you want me to? Sorry.
I absolutely do.
Do you want to give some pronunciations?
Nope. I want you to do it.
Okay. I'm going to read these ones because these are some of our most.
I've opted out.
Syllable heavy submissions, and actually all three of these are ones that I put in. Xiomara Villanueva from Jane the Virgin, Nalini Vishwakumar from Never Have I Ever.
I got this one. Cookie Lion from Empire.
Good job, Dave.
Woo.
All right. These are three characters that I am really not familiar with. So even though it is my turn to go first, I feel like I need to pass the torch to Tara. So you give us a little background information on each one.
Great. Xiomara is Jane's mother. In the series, she was a single mom. She grew up, she had Jane when she was quite young. Jane did not know her dad for quite a long time, although Xiomara knew who he was and sort of kept them apart for various reasons. Rogelio, of course, a beloved character in his own right. Perhaps if there's ever a dad Thunderdome, we'll see him. Played by Andrea Nevedo. She is a dance instructor. She's got that kind of strength. She's from Miami. She's probably seen some shit. Presumably she's survived a lot of shitty racist, you know, remarks and so forth. You have to be a certain kind of tough to be a single mom, especially when you live with your own mom who is very Catholic and very judgmental. Nalini is the mother of Davy, the main character in Never Have I Ever. She is played by Poorna Jagannathan. character actor who you've seen in many things, The Night of, and others, The Act, Better Call Saul. She is also a single mother now, but having been widowed, she is a first-generation immigrant living in California, and she is a dermatologist, so she also has physician training. And Cookie Lyon is a formerly incarcerated person who has several shitty children, one of whom she beats with a broom in the first episode of her series, Empire. She's played by Taraji P. Henson. She has to hold her own against a very bossy, domineering husband, Lucius, ex-husband by the time we meet her, I believe. Also hold her own as an executive in the male-dominated world of hip-hop records. There are your characters.
All right, Tara, what are you feeling?
Well, you go. Aren't you supposed to go first? I just finished talking about
it. I have no fucking idea. So I'm just going to let you go first and agree with you. That's how this is going to play out.
Okay. Well, let's assume that Nalini has some of the same advantages as Beverly. She is a doctor, although, being a dermatologist, she's probably going to be more skilled with, like, the injectables, putting them in the wrong place, injecting someone with an air bubble.
Oh, no, I'm over-moisturized.
Botox to the jugular.
Yeah, giving someone bad advice so it makes them break out zits, She's going to be
giant zit has covered my eye, my flank.
Hyaluronic acid. Oops, pH is too low.
Mm-hmm. Ciamara, she's tall. She's got real long legs that are going to be an advantage. She's a dancer, so she's got that going for her. She's going to, similar to probably the aerobic skills that we praised in Debbie before. But Cookie Lyon is Cookie Lyon, and she will kill you. So I'm going to say Cookie is the clear winner here. She is the toughest and the most amoral, probably.
Agree. I don't think it's that close. I don't know these other characters very well slash at all. Nalini maybe has a shot for a couple minutes, but like Cookie is not even going to wait until she's inside the Thunderdome to start Thunderdoming. Like she's been Thunderdoming her whole life and she has very pointy nails and is not fucking around and very pointy heels, which she will use in the pursuit of Thunderdome dominance. And with all due respect to these other moms, Cookie, lethal, cross the Thunderdome street if you see her coming.
Prison trained.
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot discount the do or die lifestyle that, Hollywood always tells me, if you go to prison your first day, you either got to fight the biggest galoot or you got to become somebody's bitch.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I think she's going to take the initiative and like the other two will be dead within a minute.
Yeah. And it's been a while, but I believe what she was incarcerated for was murder. So
great.
There you go.
Huh? All right. We're now into round two, three matchups in round two to decide our three finalists for the Thunderdome. Our matchup number one, Elizabeth Jennings from The Americans versus Vanessa Kiefer from Atlanta versus Violet Crawley from Downton Abbey. Elizabeth, Vanessa, Violet, all in our first round two matchup. Tara, what are you thinking?
Oh, I think this is the end of the line for Violet. I just don't see her prevailing over Elizabeth. This is someone who broke every bone in a corpse's body to put her in a suitcase and take her out of a hotel undetected. Vanessa's tough, but she's not Soviet.
And even if
the
Dowager Countess's greatest weapon is her biting wit, who's to say she is actually going to apply that wit to something that Elizabeth Jennings actually holds true?
Right.
Because she is sort of unknowable. Perhaps she is trying to get under the skin of alter ego number 14. It's not going to work. It's just all a role that she plays.
Yeah, I don't think we need to discuss this very long. Violet, I'm glad that you prevailed in your first round match, but that was a past master's nomination and you're dead immediately. And this is someone who, folded someone up like an envelope when they were dead. And it was because she killed them, I'm pretty sure.
Husband did, but either way.
Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's much Much debate here. All right, let's move on to our second round two matchup. Anita Van Buren, Law and Order Mothership, versus Sophia Petrello, The Golden Girls, versus Jackie Harris from Roseanne.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Mom's fighting.
Yeah.
Sarah, what do you think?
Cops fighting.
I think that in the battle of two cops, Jackie is probably a non-starter here, which leaves Anita and her smotheracious wigs and Sophia Petrillo and her Yoda styles. If we are correct, that Sophia is the Sophia Lorian and that she is able to whip this extremely lethal shell-covered pocketbook around at high speeds like a mace, if we are receiving that as truth, then I think it's Sophia. But I definitely think that Jackie is out of it pretty quickly, and it's down to old ATM shoot to kill Van Buren versus Sophia Petrillo. And Petrillo, I think she crawls up inside one of those vests and just starts stabbing. If that doesn't work, the Yoda routine. But I will hear arguments.
I think if it was a Jackie versus Van Buren, I would give it to Jackie, not Van Buren. I think Jackie just has more street smart sort of like nowhere to go but up sort of mentality. That I feel like would give her the edge in what is otherwise a pretty equal matchup, I think. I mean, I think if we're looking for things that are different about those two, I feel like that might help her. But boy, I just love the idea of Sophia Petrillo as Yoda just dancing around, beating the shit out of everybody and being just so bewildering in her tininess, in her oldness, in her causticness, that in fact trumps both these cops or former cops, whether they are super street smart or just street smart. So I think I'm going to give this one to Little Yoda.
I mean, it doesn't matter what I say, but I will note, I mean, I already said when we were talking about each of them separately, Anita is post-chemo at the end of the series. Jackie has this back injury. Jackie, I think, will probably fight harder than Anita for, you know, the glory, because Jackie doesn't have a pension. She doesn't have a comfortable retirement to look forward. She's living paycheck to paycheck.
She needs those endorsement deals.
She's got a tough
being Thunderdome Wheaties champion.
Yeah, she's got a tough life. You know, Sophia living in relative comfort. Her worst, the worst she has to face on a day-to-day basis is her very stupid, annoying roommate, her other roommate who's a slut, but, you know, Sophia just tells her that all the time. It's fine. And her daughter threatening to put her back into Shady Pines if she gets out of line.
Not now, Ma.
Yeah. So, I mean, I still think Jackie takes it, but you guys have overruled me.
That we have. That we have. So, bewilderingly, oh, Sophia Petrillo is in the finals. All right, our last round two matchup. It is Lillian from The Wonder Years 2021, Debbie Egan from Glow, and Cookie Lyne from Empire. This is going to be a fucking brawl.
Fuck.
I don't know where to start.
Oh my God.
It's not my turn, is it?
No, it's my turn.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Okay. Well, let me just take two at a time here. So Lillian and Debbie.
Yeah.
Now, we talked a lot about how Lillian growing up on a farm and sort of, you know, a pre-automated, you know, machines will do your work for you, don't have to look the cow in the eyes kind of farm goes a long way to building toughness. Toughness that you learn early and you learn hard. Debbie Egan, professional wrestler, knows a lot of moves.
Yeah.
So when it comes to those two meeting physically in the Thunderdome, I think you have lifelong toughness, you know, versus a relatively new skill set when it comes to wrestling. But I kind of feel like when it comes to it, that those wrestling moves are going to play a really big part in getting out of trouble.
Yeah.
And then Cookie Lyne is also there with just like kind of like as just like hard as nails. I feel like she is the one that can take the most beatings before she falls, just because she is just like a powerhouse dispensing and receiving, you know, sort of bad news and bad luck throughout her whole life. So I just imagine these matchups and they're like really, really, really close.
Yeah.
And I feel like the play is, the way I see it playing out, is that Cookie Lion is so much harder than these other two. That those two have to team up to eliminate her at the start of the match. And they see that after the results of the round one fight that Cookie Lion was in.
Yeah.
And I feel like those two together can take her out, but not individually. Uh-huh. And I feel like they're both smart enough to see that. And certainly in the wrestling world, you got a lot of opportunities. You have a lot of scripts that call for that sort of teaming up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what happens. And so now you have Lillian versus Debbie to fight it out for the win. And, ooh, boy, I kind of just feel like at this point, Debbie has the rage and the skill set. Even though she started late, she has more the eye of the tiger at this point in her life.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to carry through, and I'm going to give this one to Debbie as a result.
Where Lillian is going to have a hard time is that I think she's the most rule following one of the three. She's the one who's going to like conform to society's strictures. She's certainly strong and resourceful and tough from her farm upbringing, but she's not going to be able to just wild out the way you need to against these two opponents. I take Dave's point. I like the idea of Lillian and Debbie teaming up to take out Cookie, because otherwise, I think Cookie is unstoppable. She's just pure chaos. She is not going to observe any rules of engagement at all. She's going to do whatever it takes. She's going to punch tits. She's going to kick in the butt. She's going to bite. Yep. She's going to stick her fingers in your eye. She's, you know, so let's say the two of them. I agree with Dave. I like that theory that they team up against her. And then so the question is, you know, you can argue that like Debbie is not going to be able to improvise because, you know, a lot of what she has to do as a wrestler is choreographed. She just has to learn a sequence and stuff. But I still think she's got the raw skill to be able to do it. You know, she can improvise because she's also an actor, and she's going to get through this in order to stick it to her shitty husband. And in terms of doing what needs to be done, regardless of morality as well, in terms of Debbie, she fucking sold out her boyfriend at the end of the sadly final season so that she could buy a TV studio out from under him and advance herself. She has got the eye of the tiger, Debbie.
I don't agree. Because Cookie knows full well that those two are going to try to team up against her. So she is going to go for the woman who is trained in wrestling moves and is used to working in teams, Debbie. And they're immediately going to take out Lillian, because Lillian, I think, is tough and strong, but is probably fundamentally decent, it sounds like. Yeah. And, you know, accounting is not going to save your ass in Thunderdome. Mm. So Lillian's out immediately, and that leaves Debbie and Cookie. And Debbie, I agree, has the eye of the tiger. And if they were in the boardroom, maybe this would be closer. But there's the eye of the tiger, and then there's being a graduate of the carceral system, Cookie. And I don't think it takes a very long time. I think that she runs a scam on Debbie, and she's like, no, here's how it's going to go. It's going to be fine. I'm going to give you half the money.
Wait, in your scenario, Debbie and Cookie team up against Lillian? So,
yeah.
Why would Debbie do that?
Why would Cookie allow the others to team up against her?
Yeah. But why would Debbie agree to that? That's what I'm hung up on.
Because Cookie is a grifter on top of being a murderer. Like, Cookie is a chaotic evil who has a plan. Mm-hmm. I don't think Lillian has that kind of... I mean, not that she doesn't have planning savvy. I don't actually know what Lillian has, but I think Cookie has it gamed out already and convinces Debbie.
Yeah, I don't think, I don't know.
I think that she convinces Debbie that that's the only way that she can survive. I'm not saying she's telling the truth.
Right. It's been too long since I watched the show to remember if Cookie is more of a like strategic thinker or just like an alley street fighter.
I think she's both, because it's a soap opera, but
I guess, yeah.
She also has, again, extremely pointy fingernails. And if Debbie doesn't go along with it, she'll just be killed immediately. And then Cookie will dispense with Lillian. Like, I don't think there's a realistic scenario in which Cookie loses.
All right. So, Tara, your vote was for Debbie as well, right?
Yes.
All right. That means our finals are set. Get this. Oh, here we go.
Huh?
Elizabeth Jennings versus Sophia Petrello versus Debbie Egan from The Americans, The Golden Girls, from Glow. Now, as just fate would have it, I believe we each have one person
that's right
in the finals. Elizabeth Jennings was one I fronted.
Yep.
Sophia Petrello, Sarah, and Debbie Egan, Tara. Does anybody want to make a case for anyone in particular? Obviously, it doesn't need to be their own. That's not how this works. But does anybody have really strong theory, really strong thoughts about who should win this from the gate?
I mean, I know who's going to lose immediately. I assume we're all in agreement that Debbie is just happy to be nominated and now is dead.
No, I disagree. I think Yoda flipping around is prime. It can be easily countered by a trained wrestler. I mean, that's what they do. They catch people coming off
the
banner and they flop them down and stuff like that. So I feel like the Yoda-esque she's Yoda-esque in her movements. She actually does not have the Force, Sarah. She did not inherit the Force.
Yeah, don't be silly, Sarah.
Yes.
Oh, okay, guys. I am sorry.
I like who matches. She's flipping around. That's how she
in
fights,
Mom
right?
Thunderdome.
She's like a diminutive little person, and she flips around a lot. But I'm saying a good counter to somebody that can run around and bounce around is a wrestler. So I don't feel like it is cut and dry as all that.
I mean, a badminton player is actually the ideal. That's what you want. It's one of those little racquetball. Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know, because you have very different skill sets here, I think. But what you're really talking about is old world grandma pocketbook Yoda wiliness in Sophia.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Versus 1980s capitalist post-aerobic wrestling ruthlessness in Debbie.
Yeah.
And in former Soviet Russia, Thunderdome win you. Okay.
Yeah.
In Elizabeth Jennings. And I just don't think that Debbie versus either of these other two can win. But people still believe in Reaganomics, so I just don't know.
Well, I appreciate your stick with this with Sophia, but for me, I feel like Elizabeth Jennings is taking this fight. She is definitely
the best trained. Right.
She is the most lethal. She is multidisciplined when it comes to hurting people. You know, she knows weapons. She knows hand to hand. She probably knows, you know, both Taekwondo and Krav Maga just for good measure. Like whatever you got, she's got something for it. And although I believe that Sophia can be beat by Debbie, I don't believe that we're going to see Elizabeth Jennings being beat by Debbie unless there's like just some sort of very funky happenings going on with the Thunderdome. And I can't really play it out in any sort of realistic way where that could happen. So
yeah,
I just feel like she's got it all when it comes to Thunder dominings.
Mm-hmm. And I think she also has way fewer weaknesses.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's possible to like give Debbie and Sophia pause, but there's no like miniature psyop that you could run on Elizabeth because she's been prepared for this. Yeah, like multiple means and methods a range of experience in multiple killings and just Eastern European ice in the veins. And the other two don't have that.
Yeah. Sophia brings to this like a kind of innate scrappiness.
Yeah.
And Debbie, as I already said, has all the, you know, she presumably went to drama school. She's learned, you know, all of the weird methods of, you know, getting through whatever a scene is. She knows how to improvise. She's whatever.
She has a mane comb she can stab you with.
She does. But Elizabeth was removed from her family of origin to train for this.
Mm-hmm.
She was married to a guy she did not know who was also trained for this. All they have done in their entire, you know, fake to real marriage is just reinforce each other, continue to develop their skills, you know, get read on to this or that by whatever their handlers are. Like this is what they are in this country to do. So it's very funny that Elizabeth was the very first name that was read out, because as soon as I saw her on this list, it's like, she's obviously going to win. And I stand by that, even against two 1.5 strong extra bonus.
But what a half.
But what a half, indeed.
Picture it, Thunderdome 2022.
27 moms have entered, and happy Mother's Day to Elizabeth Jennings, the one mother who survived, surrounded by 26 bloody corpses and 26 sad stories to come home to. Elizabeth Jennings, today you have won Thunderdome.